Brian, thanks for joining us. Tell me about the Institute for Food Safety and Health.
Sure. Thank you for having me. The Institute for Food Safety and Health has been operating for about 40 years, in which we work closely with the United States Food and Drug Administration, working to help ensure safe and wholesome food for the consumer and the market, while also educating the next generation of food science technology experts.
So as a consumer, you know, I'm just somebody that goes to the grocery store, picks up my groceries, goes home, not giving much thought about what you do or what your team does or what the USDA does or the, you know, or the FDA. We, as Americans, I think generally go to the store and think that what we're picking up is safe. But we've seen more and more food recalls. And in order to get the government up and running again, the U.S. Senate just cut food safety regulations in a funding bill to reopen the government. And some people are saying that those cuts to FDA food safety regulations might impact the safety of our food. But if you look at the numbers overall, our food is fairly safe, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
The United States food is probably one of the safest in the world. In terms of being confident in what you buy at the stores. When we look at food recalls or events or products impacted over the years, it's been relatively flat or even sometimes decreasing since the passage of the Food Safety Modernization Act. So although Congress does have money coming in and out depending on the appropriation years, the shutdown didn't stop inspections, didn't stop the recall process, and didn't stop safety of food. It's just we tend to see more of those now hitting in the media because there's better reporting and better capabilities of finding that more real time within the government websites.
Right. We started talking to somebody at the U.S. Public Interest Research Group about recalls across the board. It could be cars, food, baby products a couple of years ago. And now I feel like we could have her on every day because the recalls are fast and furious. The latest recall being the Listeria outbreak linked to pre-cooked pasta that was found at, I don't know, Trader Joe's, Walmart, Kroger. Mm-hmm. And I know 6 people have died, some in Illinois, 25 people hospitalized, a pregnant woman lost her baby. Can you just generally share with us, the novices among us, how Listeria ends up in pasta?
Yeah, most of that will be introduced through the manufacturing process itself within the plant. So it's not the pasta or the ingredients per se. Listeria is one of those in the microbiology world, very persistent, very difficult once it gets into a facility to keep clean because of its inability to kind of protect itself from cleaning and inactivation. So it's always a challenge in all food categories, whether it's that, salmonella, E. coli, and those aspects of how we do better prevention. The goal is never to have any individual feel sick or unsafe when they consume their food. And even in a lot of the products that you see being recalled now today, they're actually more preventive, which is the model that has been more designed with the FDA to get product off the market with the potential possibility that it could be a problem. So we're seeing more products maybe being removed, but actually not illness associated to them. That does not mean there's still not going to be illnesses in higher risk products, in some cases fresh produce. You'll see that in eggs and dairy on top of that. So it kind of goes up and down, but these are persistent, and it's important that manufacturers work to try to clean those the best they can within their facilities.
Because most of the time when I read about or I report on these food outbreaks like Listeria, it is through manufacturing. These are processed food products, things that you buy and heat and eat. Not necessarily always the whole foods. We all remember the romaine lettuce a couple years ago and different vegetables. But so all of that does come back to manufacturing.
In those manufactured packaged products, absolutely. And they're going to, they could still be introduced by the ingredient themselves. But in most cases, if there's a processing process that prevents or has a control in place that will capture it as it's moving through the supply chain. It just depends on where that is in the packaging, the production, and the final product, the holding of that product even before it's finally packaged. Our food system is complex when you really look at it. Again, still the safest in the world, but is complex, more traceable than it used to be in the past. And so we're able to kind of get ahead of these sooner than later and then prevent illness where we can and continue to strive towards zero illness.
And when a recall is issued, what we really need to pay attention to is the class of that recall. Can you go over those classes?
Sure. There's three classes, class one being the most severe. So anytime you see a class one, consumption of that product will likely cause hospitalization, severe illness, or death. Class two, you may get sick from the product, but in most cases, it's treatable when that does happen. That's where you see most of the recalls taking place, are in the class two level. And class three are very minor. These might be labeled differences, and they're not going to actually have a health impact when you consume the product. But out of those three categories, class two is the highest of those, again, which is better than the class one, which are the most severe.
What have we had in recent memory that is a class one? Does the pasta, the products that have been recalled that have caused six deaths, were those class one or were those class two?
Those would be in the class one category because they were associated to illness and death in that case. And then the more recent ones that you're kind of seeing hit the market recently in Washington, and that's where the dashboard's really great at looking at this, but I think the ByHeart recall that just really took place in the last couple of weeks on infant formula, where a number of infants have become sick due to botulism. No deaths have been associated to that, but again, that's class one. These are individuals and infants that have been made sick due to that product.
And, you know, that's horrifying for anyone to read who's feeding their baby
right.
formula, that something like that could happen where, you know, their source of food is actually making a newborn or an infant sick. So where can people, you know, I mean, obviously I shared on my show, not many people go and check recalls every day. And many times the recalls continue for weeks and people have been eating or consuming or feeding their children this type of food. How would you instruct people who are listening to stay on top of this so that they can keep their families well?
Sure. There is multiple sources of information. Like I said, we've gotten better with information out to the consumer faster than in the previous years. One is the CDC website. We'll have the actual outbreaks when something happens to one or more individual. It will be an outbreak at that point, and they'll report on that. They'll start to then connect that to the FDA or the USDA, depending on which product is being produced. And it'll then have the product names and a lot of codes that go with that. Also within the FDA or the USDA themselves, simple internet searches where you just look at FDA recalls or USDA recalls or their dashboards, it'll quickly take you to some of those highlights and things that are happening in the current moment. But in all cases, they're going to give you the product names, they're going to give you the time period, and they're going to give you those lot codes that are going to be the most important to make sure that what you have in your house is not something you should be consuming at that time.
And it seems as if it's stuff that we're buying. More often it's happening in our home than it is in a restaurant. Is that a fair assumption or is that just my perception?
That would probably be more perception. I mean, if you think about the number of restaurants and retail establishments across the country, there will be recalls. And again, CDC would be the ones that would capture that. But packaged product, because of the scale at which it exists in our grocery aisles compared to going to a single restaurant, is going to have a much bigger impact and more broad breadth in terms of its expanse across the United States.
Thank you so much for joining us. I have a feeling we'll have a conversation again in the future because I've tapped you as the expert on this.
Anytime, we are here to help.